0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome along to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It is the day after the night before, and last night was a horror show for Scotland and Steve Clark.
Both committed and Hungary are in here. 10 minutes of additional time played. It's cut back and it's a goal for Hungary. And Scotland's Euro dream is over. The Hungarian fans erupt here in Stuttgart. And Scotland's Euros is over. 100 minutes played here in Stuttgart. A counter-attack from Scotland's best period of the game. And that is that. Scotland 0, Hungary 1. And it is all over Mark Wilson.
Heartbreak. Absolute heartbreak for Scotland. The Tartan Army, the players, the manager. Committed bodies forward, looking for a winner. And we've been picked off cruelly at the other end. Our Euros is over. As you see the fans traipsing away. Oh, it could not get any worse.
Wow. Still hurts hearing that back. Still can't quite believe it. That was Gordon Duncan, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL in Stuttgart last night. Yes, it's me, Ewan Cameron, here in the hot seat. And alongside me is the King of Negative Normans, the Sith Lord himself. Hugh Keevans is here with us tonight. Plays music. Plays music. The Sith Lord himself.
Can
Mr.
I just ask you,
Hugh Keevans,
who was correct?
We'll get to that very soon, but nice to have you here, Hugh Keevans.
Thank you.
Gracing us with your darkness. And beside the Negative Norman is former Celtic and Scotland striker Simon Donnelly, our very own Luke Skywalker. He's bringing some light to the darkness tonight. Listen, there's going to be a lot of fans tonight who are going to have their say on what happened, not just last night, but for the entire tournament. How good were Scotland? How bad were Scotland? Do we stick with Stevie Clark? Do we get rid of Stevie Clark? You can have your say right now. 0141 951 1025. That's 0141 951 1025 is the number to call. Chris, hold on a second. We'll be with you in just a couple of seconds, because I want to get Hugh and Simon's thoughts on last night first. Kind of set the show up. Hugh Keevans.
We're now 1-12. 1-12. For the second major international tournament in a row, we get 1 point and then out. We scored one goal 3 years ago, Callum McGregor. We didn't score any goals this time because our goals were scored by Antonio Rudiger, the German defender, and Fabian Schär, the Swiss defender. So on that basis, we're getting worse. Steve Clark is subject to the terms and conditions applicable to all members of the managerial profession. If you don't win football matches, you're in trouble. Steve Clark's in trouble.
Simon Donnelly.
Yeah, listen, disappointed, like every other Scottish fan. On this show before a ball was kicked, full of hope. We've always got the optimism. But the three games, first game we didn't turn up. Didn't turn up at all. I thought we'd get a reaction, a positive reaction out of the boys that gave us a chance getting into the game last night. I just think we were too safe. We were too safe. There's opportunities to be a bit bolder. Maybe Steve Clark's selection. You know, I think if he goes forward, I think he said himself today, I think they need to reassess that in terms of how he builds the team, what is the structure going to be in the team, because I just don't think we get enough bodies forward throughout the three games. And you look at all the other teams in the tournament, they've got pace, they've got physicality up front.
They're brave.
And I just didn't think we posed enough to any of the teams we came up against.
Chris is in Lanark. You're kicking off the show tonight. Steve Clark, 1 point, poor performances all round. Yes, we got a reaction against Switzerland. Do you stick with Steve Clark? What do you think, Chris?
Well, I don't really have an opinion either way with Steve Clark, to be honest with you. I do agree with Simon. I think he got his team selection wrong in pretty much every game. I don't see for life me why Billy Gilmore doesn't start and play. you know, I questioned Ralston after the first game. I thought he was poor against Switzerland. Why James Forrest never got a game at all? I don't. He never got a minute, I don't think, on the park. I think it's poor, a poor team selection. Obviously, we're dependent on a certain amount of guys. Obviously, we've got Kieran Tierney and Robertson, Hickey. They're all left backs. When we're trying to squeeze them into the team, maybe England have got the same kind of problem with trying to put Bellingham and whatever. I know we kind of compare the players, but you know they're trying to put Bellingham and Foden into the same team. We're trying to squeeze players. I think Tierney can play left centre back. I thought Robertson was poor in the tournament, to be fair.
Therefore, you do have an opinion on Steve Clarke. You think he picks the wrong teams?
I suppose he's...
Chris, I'm going to put you in charge of the SFA. You're the president of the SFA, or you're the chief executive. Are you sticking with Steve Clarke? Is he the man to take Scotland forward?
I don't know. I don't know. That's why I'm not in the big seat, not being getting paid the big bucks.
Yeah, but you've got an opinion like everybody else. Would you stick with him?
Who else are you going to get? Who else can come in, really?
Chris, go and hold on there. I'm going to bring in Michael, who's in our draw-in. Can you put Michael through for me, please? Michael's in our draw-in, and he thinks it's time for change when it comes to the Scotland manager. Chris, stay there. We'll get Michael on in just a wee second. But before we get Michael, is it time for change, Hugh Keevans?
I repeat, he's in trouble.
Would you change him?
I would. I would like to think that he would take his own future into his own hands, because he should be allowed the chance to go with his head held high, because he did take us to back-to-back international tournaments, and that's something that is not to be dismissed as nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I fear for him that if this continues, if 1-12 becomes 1-13, 1-14, eventually the crowd will crack, and then he doesn't go with his head held high.
Okay. Chris, you stay there because you're not sure about Stevie Clarke. Michael, in our draw-in, go and tell Chris why you think it's time for Steve Clarke to go.
Because the last two European championships it's been 1 point or so many points we've had. He's not done it in twice major tournaments we've been at, to be honest. We've not done it twice in Europe. We've not been good enough.
Has he ran his race?
Yep, he ran his race, definitely.
Who would you get in if you were to sack Steve Clarke tomorrow?
I was looking last night watching a game with a couple of mates and that, and David Moyes is sitting in the studio, so maybe give David Moyes a shout to a chance.
Chris, Michael's under no illusions. He thinks it's a clear cut case. Clarke has to go. Why do you have your doubts, Chris?
I just wonder if Moyes is a good shout, but he's not had the best last couple of years. You know, is there anybody else really that's going to? He's done well for us so far. He took us to a couple of tournaments, albeit we've not won any games at the tournaments. You know, a draw against England, draw against Switzerland. I mean, I looked at the group before, you know, and I said to your producer before the show, the mindset of Scotland, I think, was always, you know, we're not going to get anything for Germany. We might get a point against Switzerland and we might beat Hungary, you know, take it to the last game. You know, that's probably crept into the players and that as well over the court. You know, I don't like this attitude that's, we should be happy to beat. I know the fans enjoyed it and whatever else, and you know, but I just think the expectation levels, you know, maybe that doesn't help the players' mindset going into the tournaments. The players never really turned up.
Yeah,
I don't think they ever really, you know, played well. There was a couple of maybe semi performances here and there, you know, first half in Switzerland.
But then Chris, you have to then ask the question: why did the players not turn up, Michael? Why do you think the players didn't turn up?
I don't know. I really don't know, because Robertson, Liverpool is outstanding. The players McGinn at Aston Villa, McGregor at Celtic. There's players everywhere that are brilliant in the clubs. But when it comes to Scotland, I don't know if it's Steve Clarke's tactics, to be honest with you.
Michael, Chris, thanks so much for calling us tonight. 0141 951 1025 is the number to call. Have your say on Scotland's Euro 2024 campaign. Simon Donnelly, I've asked you Keevans a question about Steve Clarke. He thinks it's probably time for change. I'm now going to put you in a position. You're the SFA chief executive. You're the president. You're having breakfast this morning. You're discussing the future of Scotland. Are you discussing Steve Clarke's future?
No, I think they'll Keep them.
I'm not asking what you think they'll do. What would you do?
I would keep them.
And why would you do that?
Because much like Chris is saying there, I don't think there's another obvious guy out there. I think he has to change his system. I think the back three for us didn't work that tournament. He'll argue that the qualifying campaign was perfect. It was almost perfect. We maybe rode a luck in one or two of games, but we took our chances when they came along, and we qualified quite easily.
You don't think there's a better manager out there that can get a better tune out of that team?
Not immediately come into my head just now.
You wouldn't think of Moyes? Would you not consider him a boy that's out of a job just now? Was sat in the BBC studios last night? Was sat on Talk Sport this morning? Clearly want to put his name in the frame.
Well, listen, Ewan, I think we were too defensive over the three games, right?
But Clark's style is defensive and pragmatic.
I think David Moyes is a wee bit like that as well, though.
McInnes at Kilmarnock, he said quite clearly and on the record in recent months that he'd love to be a Scotland manager.
Not sure.
So you stick with Clark?
I would stick with Clark, but I think Steve Clark, as Hugh quite rightly says, the next six games, Portugal, Poland, Croatia, none of them are mugs. They're difficult games. We can't keep going on in this run. We spoke about, I kind of dismissed the run going up to the tournament because I thought, you know, the adrenaline, the platform of being in a finals.
They'll come good.
The boys will come good. But we didn't really. So I think the pressure's on him. He asked me the other week, the pressure is on because he's not getting the results. I think he has to change his system. And that might be a back four, but we need to get more bodies forward to put threat on the opposition.
You know, Simon made the point earlier on about being bold. You know, we only looked like anything last night when he decided to go gung-ho.
Yeah.
When he got Shankland on, Lewis Morgan, Kenny McLean,
Ryan Christie.
Yeah. You know, and again, takes too long to get Shankland onto the park.
Yeah.
A win is essential.
83 minutes Shankland appeared.
And the game before that, you get 4 minutes. Now, you leave yourself open to criticism if you're doing this.
And the thing for me, Shankland had a big impact in that 15 minutes.
I thought he did well.
More than Shea Adams did in 74, 75 minutes.
I believe his mindset, Steve Clark's mindset, is that he regards players who earn their living in the English Premier League or the English Championship as a superior life form to people who play up here.
Mm. James, your thoughts on last night and the future of Steve Clark. How are you doing, my friend?
Oh, how are you doing, Ewan? You all right?
I'm not bad, mate. Listen, there's a lot of debate going on about Steve Clark and his future as Scotland manager. I'm now putting you in charge. What do you do?
Well, listen, let me say first, Ewan, it's good to have you back. And Clyde, it'd be nice if you were a full-time signing.
I'm here every now and then, James, and I'm enjoying it. And here I am the night after Scotland getting knocked out of the Euros. So, listen, Clark is under a bit of pressure. Where do you sit with him?
It's time to go.
It's time to go.
We need change. I think the players have lost a bit of something, to be honest. It's 100% time for a change. It's just too negative. There's no, I don't believe in him. You know, I don't even know if the players believe in him either now. So definitely time for a change, for sure. And I think you said it just in the last call there. I think Moyes is ideally placed. Whether he would or not, he seemed very gutted last night. So maybe that was the kind of the boost that we needed to get somebody like Moyes in. I think Moyes is the man for the job.
This debate is going to go on, Hugh. It's not going away.
No.
And as Simon alluded to, the Nations League campaign starts in September during the international break, and we've got games against Croatia, Poland and Portugal on the way.
Yeah.
And at the moment, we're sitting with one win out of 12. It's got to that point now. Do you just make the change now? Because you can only see it getting worse before it gets better. And then the Tartan Army start to resent Steve Clark, and then the pressure mounts and it gets nasty. They've got a big decision to make, the SFA, after what we have just witnessed in the last week.
Mike Mulroney, the SFA president, not short of an opinion or two, not afraid to voice it in public. I'd like to hear his thoughts on the matter.
Well, 2 weeks ago, he was raving about Clark as if he was Pep Guardiola.
Well, if that's the case, and he believes that the manager stays, then the manager stays, presumably. And I think tomorrow it might be interesting to get Steve Clark's take on it all. He's had a night to sleep on it. Whatever he said to the daily newspapers, we'll find out in the morning. He doesn't strike me as the type who will walk, even though his profile, his image would be enhanced. You know, the man who took us to back-to-back major tournaments. He strikes me as the type who will tough it out. But as you rightly say, if 1 in 12 becomes 1 in 13, 1 in 14, the Tartan army will crack eventually.
Yeah. And that's the worry, isn't it, James? Do you get rid of the manager now before it gets worse?
Oh, yeah, of course. The change needs to be done before you start, you know, any Nations League, any new qualification process, for sure. You know, I think there's people out there that would take the job that I think could do a better job. I think the style needs to change, and there's guys out there that could do that. Another wee sort of controversial point as well, that I mentioned to the sort of producer when I called up, I think the approach to the granny system, born in Scotland, needs to end as well. I don't think it's working for us. As I say, this is quite controversial, but I think we need to stick to pure Scottish.
I'm going to jump in there, James. Look at the Republic of Ireland and what they achieved over the years. I mean, it's remarkable what they achieved over the years. And I'll also go back to, you look at previous Euros, Northern Ireland qualified into the knockout stages. Yeah. The likes of Iceland have qualified to knockout stages. You look at this tournament in itself, teams and nations that are lower ranked than Scotland have been a joy. They've been amazing. They've been brave. They've attacked your Albanias, your Georgias, your Slovenias.
I think that's what we need to change. I think that's
what look we, at what they've done.
Yeah. And I'm saying to you before we came on, and we don't have a player of this level, but Spain have got a 16-year-old in their team. Turkey's an 18-year-old's great finish.
Aye.
But boy's the boy Conway there. I've not seen a lot of Tommy Conway, but I've heard good things about him. Maybe just throw them one.
Bold.
Yeah, give the guy a chance. Like, one each.
Aye.
Switzerland were making loads of subs. We were reluctant last night. And the most exciting part of the game last night was the last 10 minutes getting into injury time. Obviously, it's 0-0, but it was like a basketball game. Both teams start going for it, and you're thinking, where was that at the start of the game a wee bit? I know you can't just throw everything to it at the start, but a wee bit more positive.
Tommy Conway's part of the granny system, as James calls it, because he's from Taunton in Somerset.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
I would go the granny, other way, though, Hugh. But we can't afford to not look at these people.
The granny system is available on a worldwide basis.
Yeah.
And you make yourself insular if you say, no. Just people who were born in Scotland. You make yourself insular and you're cutting off
your nose to
a supply
your face.
Route. Yeah, I mean, you think back on the number of granny system players who were fantastic for Scotland. So I would not be in favour of that at all. The problem you have is you've got to pick the right granny system players.
Yes. James, it's been lovely speaking to you. Thanks so much for that. Give us a call on 01419511025. It is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're dissecting what happened last night against Hungary. Shocking performance. We're all talking about Steve Clark. What should he do next? What would you do if you were the SFA chief executive? Give us a call, 01419511025. When we return, we'll be speaking to stand-up comedian Mark Nelson, who was in Germany last night, and I think he's currently in Croatia waiting on a plane. We'll get to him next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it, watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Yep, it's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Ewan Cameron, in the hot seat tonight. Alongside me is the Dark Lord himself, Mr. Hugh Keevan's going to play his music. Because anytime I mention the Dark Lord, yeah, there you go. There he is, the Dark Lord himself, Hugh Keevan's here with us tonight. And alongside him, former Celtic and Scotland striker, Simon Donnelly, in Croatia. I've got no idea why he's in Croatia. Stand-up comedian Mark Nelson, who was in Stuttgart last night, is speaking to us from Croatia. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Ian. How are you doing, man?
Not too bad. Now, you were in Stuttgart last night, weren't you?
Yeah. I was in Stuttgart at about 1:30 this afternoon, and then our flight home was from Frankfurt via Croatia back to Glasgow. So.
Are you in Croatia just now?
Yeah, I'm in Pula Airport in Croatia, which is actually, you know what, it's lovely. It's probably been the best part of the last 24 hours, to be honest.
Mark, you've been quite vocal on social media. You've been in Germany for the three games. Now that the dust has settled, what's your thoughts, my friend? And you were there last night at the Tartan. I mean, what was the overall feeling?
I think it's just, you know what, it's partly devastation and partly a wee bit embarrassment, if I'm honest with you. I think, and I've been speaking to quite a few fans in the flips as well, quite a lot of anger as well, because I think the fans have done their bit at this tournament, and everyone has welcomed us. The Germans have loved us. The world media has loved us. We've turned up, spent a lot of money on this. And I think the least we expected, the least we deserved, was for a team to go out and actually give, not give a performance, not expect to win, but it actually looked like they were bothered and just could do something. I mean, the lack of creativity, the lack of ambition last night from us was, and I've never seen anyone go out in a must-win game playing like that. It was shocking to watch.
We were just saying there, Mark, that what really bothered me, and I think for every Scotland fan, is that we played in a major tournament. We had three matches. We had nearly 200,000 fans out there in Germany. And we had very little to cheer about. And then you look at the likes of Georgia, you look at Albania, you look at Slovenia, and they've attacked. They've given their fans excitement and joy, and they've had a go. And we didn't do any of that. Yeah. We had nothing to cheer about.
Yeah, I think that's why there are certain things. See, any of the excuses over a small country, we don't have the players at that level, doesn't it really wash when you watch a Georgia or an Albania? I mean, the Georgia-Czech game was absolutely brilliant. They just both went for it because they knew they had to get something. Scotland were just so, so passive. And I think it really... What annoys me the most is that we were told repeatedly in the run-up, the terrible form through the friendlies, the one win in 10... that weren't to panic because the players, once the big games come along, they'll get the big game mentality in their heads. So we're told, don't panic, don't be a negative Norman, like Steve Clark said. And then we were told right the way through the tournament that the players and him himself had learned from what we'd done in the last Euros, which was be cautious and try and nick something. And we didn't learn a thing. I mean, that game last night was arguably a worse approach to a game than it was in the last Euros against Croatia. So it doesn't seem like they've learned anything at all, and it seems like I think Steve Clark has now been found out in terms of a manager, that he's one way to play is that back five. You cannot switch from that. Why would we stick with a back five that was created purely so that we could fit Tierney and Robertson into a system when Tierney's away? Why would we stick with that? I just don't know.
Mark, you and I have had some interesting debates on Twitter over the years when it comes to Scotland, in particular Steve Clarke. I've never really been a fan of his style or his approach to football matches, and I know you've defended him in the past, but as you sit in Croatia right now waiting to fly home after what you witnessed last night in Stuttgart, what's your thoughts on Steve Clarke?
I personally think he will walk away from the job because I think he'll realise himself that he's taken the team probably as far as he can. Listen, he can look back very, very fondly on what he's actually achieved. He's got belief back in the squad. He's had some incredibly good results. But he doesn't seem to have that tactical nous or mentality for tournament football. And I don't want us to get to a stage where we're just happy to be there, because it's quite embarrassing, really. And the worst thing is, even coming home, speaking to German folk at the airport, they feel sorry for you. And that's the worst kind of thing. And then I've just watched videos of them getting some Oompa band playing Scotland the Brave as they all get back in the bus. And you just go, I don't want us to leave a tournament as the laughing stock of the tournament, coming away with four shots on target the whole over the three games. I'd rather we had gone out and right for the very first whistle in Germany, gone out and had a right go at absolutely everything. And then if we come home, you can't ask for anything. You just go, well, there are players on us. But to go out with that meekly, is really disappointing.
Mark Nilsson, in a word, yes or no, should Steve Clarke go?
Yes, absolutely.
Mark Nilsson, one of Scotland's premier stand-up comedians, go and see him at the Edinburgh Fringe this year. So I've done a wee plug for you, mate.
Thanks very much. I promise I'll be a lot funnier and a lot chuffier.
Mark Nilsson, stand-up comedian, on his way home from Stuttgart via Croatia. Safe journey, my friend. I'll see you soon.
Cheers, pal. Thanks, Ian.
Cheers, mate.
Yeah, we can't have people like Mark and the 100,000 or 200,000 who went to Germany. We can't have them boomeranging their way across the globe to see that. You know, to qualify, first class, the qualification campaign, first class, but we can't keep going to tournaments and being as insipid as we are.
Was it embarrassing as he described it?
I'm not sure about embarrassment.
Were we embarrassed?
A letdown. It's a massive letdown. Nothing has changed at all from the tournament 3 years ago. In fact, you could argue that two own goals means it's got worse because at least Callum McGregor scored for us 3 years ago.
Ricky is going to have his say right now on Stevie Clark. Before you have your thoughts, before we hear your thoughts on Clark, Ricky, were we an embarrassment at the Euros?
Yes, yes, very much so. I mean, we were told we were going there, the players were up for it, the manager was up for it. All the fans believed that, you know, we believed that we were going to go there and we were going to do something. There was people, there was pundits, there was the ex-players, oh, we could do something against Germany. Hugh Keevans was 100% right. We could do nothing against Germany. All we could have done against Germany was have a go and still get beat 5-1. We might have not got beat 5-1. We might get beat in a lesser score. We might have beat 3-1 or 2-1. But at least we would have had a go. Switzerland game, OK, we got a draw with it. Unfortunate with the passbacks and that all carry on. Unfortunate with that, but last night, a must-win game. You have got to put people on the park that can put the ball in the net, i.e. Shanklin. You have got to get service into Shanklin, i.e. Forrest or Lewis Morgan or Armstrong. Now, whatever you do, you've got to go and have a go last night. We're out. See, to go and have a go last night and we're out. Good on us. See, because we didn't have a go last night, we're out. We're disappointed and we're embarrassed because we never had a go. Shots on target. I mean, that's terrible.
Yeah.
We don't have the shots on target. No, even if you're outside the box. You know, we're not talking about boys in the penalty area with a striker. Our midfield never had a dig, nothing.
Yeah. Just hold on a second, Ricky. I'm going to get Simon's thoughts on your point. We'll also bring in John, who's going to have his say it on Stevie Clark. John, stand by. Simon, you've heard from Mark Nelson, and he described it as embarrassing. Ricky's been quite forthright in his opinions on what he witnessed. But you would still stick with Clark?
I would, yeah, because there's nobody jumping out. I think he has to change his system, though. I know I keep repeating myself with this one. We need to change as a team the way we set up. We can't play with the back three.
Would you describe us as embarrassing?
It's embarrassing when you look at all the responses on social media or people. I had my Dutch mate text me last night saying how bad we were. It is embarrassing because as a nation, we've got pride. We want to go to the tournaments, as Hugh says. We don't want to just be there as filling in a space. We want to go. And I was one of the ex-players. Was it Ricky there? I thought we would get something. I thought we would do something at this tournament. But I don't see any adventure in our team. I think Hungary last night knew exactly how we were going to set up because it was the same as we set up for the other two games.
Yeah.
There was no change. Hungary played... There was, I think it was Neil McCann last night saying he couldn't believe Hungary weren't pressing. They were sitting in. They knew that, or they reckoned that we couldn't break them down.
They didn't
and
have
then
the ball,
they've got
they...
the pace to go and break on us on the counter-attack. That's how the game panned out. And the last 10 minutes, then yeah. It's gung-ho and the shape and everything goes.
Do you know what was really weird about it? Scotland had the most possession last night, but it was Hungary who controlled the game standing off.
It
they
was.
Controlled
that's
the game.
That's what I'm saying. You're getting into a game, all the callers are describing it as a must-win game. Maybe change something. Change something. Try and surprise your opponents. Try and get them to think. They knew exactly how we were going to play last night.
And we played into their hands.
I think embarrassment is if I get caught taking the recycling out to the bin while wearing my pyjamas. But... There are degrees.
What a vision that
yeah,
is, eh?
Exactly, yeah. There are degrees of annoyance when it comes to football.
Are you not a onesie man?
No.
You're a pyjama man. Oh, no, I don't see you with the full zippy thing and try to take it all off to
go for a wee. No. But there are degrees of annoyance. And 3 years ago, it was poor. We obsessed over a draw with England and everything was all right with the world then. But either side of that, we get hammered.
Yeah.
This time, you know, I knew from the outset, we got off lightly at 5-1 against Germany. We really got off lightly.
And thanks to VAR, we got off against Switzerland as well.
Correct. And then came the big picture, and we didn't show up. So there are degrees of annoyance,
yeah.
And it's getting more and more annoying.
Ricky said that it was embarrassing. Martin Nelson, stand-up comedian, says it was embarrassing. Ricky, stay there. John, you're going to have your say now. Would you describe our tournament as embarrassing?
How you doing, guys? No, I wouldn't. I don't know if embarrassing is really what I would say. More frustrating. Simon and Hugh and the guy Ricky kind of just stole my thunder a wee bit of what I was about to say, but take last night as a on its own. I think just before they made the substitutions, they brought up a stat on TV to say that Scotland had 72% of the game. How can you have 72% of the game and not a shot on target?
Or a corner.
Exactly. And then we all knew going into the game, we all knew what was required. We had to win. We had to win the game. If we get beat 5-0, then at least we could have said we went for it. But we never. We showed nothing. Nay impact. They brought on Shankland, 80 minutes or something like that? 83rd minute. We know at that point we need to win. So why not just bring on all the forwards? Why not bring on Forrest, Conway, Shankland? Why bring on boys like Morgan? You know what I mean? He's a midfielder, he's not a forward.
No, to be fair to Lewis Morgan, he has been playing up front for the New York Red Bulls, and he did look lively when he came on.
He did get in behind and put him across.
So it's Forrest, though, Hugh.
For me, how Forrest didn't get any minutes, he, for me, at the tail end of the season, was the best player in Scotland. Yeah. The best player in Scotland. And Stevie Clark, when he chose him for the squad, waxed lyrical about him, how good he is, what a great professional he is. How he didn't get any minutes, for me, is a disgrace. Disgrace.
Yeah, on our programme last night, Gordon, the two Gordons and Mark Wilson are in Stuttgart, and I kept saying to them, it's the oldest cliche in the business, but in order to win the raffle, you need to buy a ticket. Yeah. And the ticket might have had Conway's name on it or James Forrest's name on it. But for some reason, no matter the circumstances, and
Pixie's favourites.
Yeah.
Pixie's favourites.
And we were, the sands of time were running out. And then because of a serious injury, and we hope that the Hungarian player is fine, but another 10 minutes were added. Mm-hmm. That was your lifeline. That was the lifeline being thrown out to you. And we still didn't use it properly.
So I'm going to ask you both, Ricky and John, here we are the night after, or sort of the day after the night before. Do you get rid of Steve Clarke before the start of the Nations League in September? First, you, Ricky.
Yes, and I'll tell you why. Simon Donnelly just made a statement there. See the way Jay Clark sets up his team, and he won't change it. Exact same way as Postecoglou sets up his team and won't change it. So they're setting their ways. That's the way they play football. They ain't going to change it.
And for that reason, Clark goes.
Yes, definitely.
Postecoglou won 5 trophies out of 6 when he was here.
I think he's just meaning that he sticks to his
philosophy. He sticks to his philosophy. So, Ricky, you say out now before the start of the Nations League. John, you're going to have the final say on this part of the show. Do you think that Steve Clarke should be sacked before the start of the Nations League in September?
I don't know if sacked. I don't know if he deserves to be sacked because he's done a lot to get us to where we are. But I think he should walk. I think if he's got the integrity that he makes out that he has, and we all know him as from these days where he's in Man and Chelsea and everything else that goes with it. I think he should walk away with his head held high. Who's going to take care of him? God knows. But I think he needs to go. I think his time's up.
Okay. Brilliant. Thanks so much for that, John, and also to Ricky. So John doesn't think he should be sacked, but that he should possibly resign. Ricky wants him out the door now. What do you think? 0141 951 1025 is the number to call. It is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're here till 8, and we're dissecting what happened last night in Scotland's Euros debacle in Germany.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Here we are. Good evening. Just gone 7:15, Monday, 24th of June, the day after the night before. It is Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Ewan Cameron. 0141 951 1025 is the number to call to have your say. We're here until 8 o'clock. And if I play this piece of music, you'll know who is alongside me. says it all, doesn't it? Yeah, the Dark Lord, Darth Vader himself, Hugh Keevans is here alongside Simon Donnelly. Right, I apologise just in advance. We're about to put you to sleep. Here's a Scotland manager, Stevie Clark.
Gave it everything. Don't think you can fault the effort. It was a very tough game, good opponent, very close game. It was always going to be decided by the first goal. You could tell that after half an hour. Unfortunately for us, when we opened up towards the end of the game to try and chase the win that we felt we needed to get to the next stage, we got caught in counter and we lose the game 1-0. But I don't think there was anything between the two teams. It was a one-goal game. The first half is what it was. We dominated the ball. We had enough of the ball. We didn't create quite enough. When it opened up a little bit towards the end, we created chances. We couldn't find the composure just to put the ball in the net. But that's what we are. That's the way we are. It was always going to be a tough night against a good team.
See, he hangs himself with the very first two words that he says.
Mm.
Gave everything. No, he didn't.
Mm.
If that's giving everything, then we're an even bigger bother than we think they are. That was not giving everything. That was a first half with no shots at goal and no corners. How can that be described as gave everything?
The line that also gets me in that clip, we created chances. Mm. We created chances. Did he think that Scotland were wearing white last night?
I didn't see many chances. The most threatening we looked in the night was in the last 5 minutes and get into that 10 minutes.
And who was our most threatening player? Grant Hanley, when he threw him up front?
Yeah, he had a couple of efforts, the header back across and the shot on goal.
What game was he watching? And this is what was frustrating me last night. But here's the thing.
I don't think you can question the effort.
I think you can question Simon, the effort. You're a former player, right? You've been in a dressing room with managers.
Yeah.
Down south and here in Scotland. When you hear your manager speak like that, we created chances, we were this, we were that, you know within yourself, surely, that he is talking nonsense, because you were on the pitch. You weren't any of what he said.
Yeah, but you're maybe protecting your player. Do you want him to come out and lambast these players?
But you can't tell a nation that have just watched that 90 minutes, we created chances.
No, no.
Listen, there is a managerial style.
It was
style.
One or two in that last 10 minutes. Before that, the first half was hugely frustrating for us. But listen, Hungary, I think, played into their hands because they knew that we couldn't break them down. We had one guy up top. We couldn't get bodies up to support. We struggled to get through the lines. We were opting to go back all the time. That isn't a lack of effort. That's just, as I said at the top of the show, trying to be bold and a wee bit braver to go forward. And we didn't do that. And I think that comes from the shape. I think we don't get enough bodies into that final third, into their half, to go and support. I mean, the boy, Shea Adams, has chased his shadow around for three games. He's no real support.
There is a managerial style when they're under pressure. And it is to tell the press that black is white and to defy someone in the press room to say, that's not right. So that's how they deal with these situations. He cannot believe half of what he said there. But they say it as a defence mechanism because they're defying anyone to contradict them in that moment.
I like every now and then to have a pop at the media, and particularly the Scottish media, because I don't really care for them. Right? I've always had a running battle
they
with
have
Scottish
a,
media.
An exceptionally low opinion of you as well.
And I'm delighted about that, absolutely delighted. I was gobsmacked that not one of them were brave enough, big enough or ugly enough to ask him if he feared for his job. Not one person asked him that. And do you know why? Because they're all too pally.
When you're away on a continental trip,
enjoying yourself.
The
on expenses. Don't want to upset the SFA, you don't want to upset the Scotland manager because you want to stay in with the Scotland manager. It's very cliquey.
First of all, what they want the press conference to last as long as possible so that they get as much as possible because they're up against a deadline and they have to file.
So they're not asking the questions the fans want asking.
They don't want him cutting short his press conference.
They're in privileged positions.
This is my personal
But I'm telling you, Hugh, as a fan and someone who sat in those media conferences many years ago and would ask those questions because I know what the fans want you to ask, yet you've got a media in Scotland who don't ask those tough questions.
Well, I repeat.
Because they want to keep in with the manager.
They want as much copy as possible. Now, today, today.
So they're not doing the job that the fans want them to do, no, and they buy their papers.
Today, he'll be asked that question.
Well, hopefully they will.
He will have been asked that question today. I think I can assure you of that. But the, first and foremost, they're up against a tight deadline and they want as many words as possible. But today, I guarantee you he will have been asked that question.
David could be on the wind-up here, possibly not, but I think he is happy with the Scotland manager, Steve Clarke. David, tell us why you're happy with the current manager.
Well, I mean, we have qualified for the last 2 Euros. We got to the playoff at the World Cup. I think he most likely deserves, considering there's not many great candidates at our disposal to take us into the to the World Cup campaign. Clearly, the players obviously like him. I mean, last night, no, there's no doubt. I was sitting on my couch, just staring into space, like the players were on the park after the game, thinking, "My God, we didn't really go for that." Not bringing on James Forrest. Why did he bring James Forrest to the tournament? A player in form, could carry the ball. I just thought it was tailor made to bring on somebody like Forrest. But yeah. I just think one second point is that, like, we're just, a lot of people are just too quick to just stick the boot in straight after a game. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like the minute the final whistle was like, get him out.
David, I'm sorry to jump in here, but did you watch the last 12 games under the leadership of Stevie Clarke? Did you watch the last European Championships? We had two home games at Hampden, and we never turned up, and we got absolutely hammered.
But you were here brushing the 5 games at the start of the group that qualified us for it, though.
Again, I just want to remind you of that. If Norway hadn't taken off Odegaard and Haaland thinking that they got that game sewn up, we were absolutely atrocious that day, and a couple of breakaway goals got us out of a hole. We were poor in that game, and it was 1-3 or 4 to Norway. Yes, you need to carry a bit of luck, but again, we were not great in that game. I think, yes, we got the win, and yes, we got to the Euros, but see when you dissect the performances in some of those group games. Look at the games against Georgia. We were poor. We got away with it, but we were poor.
Yeah, you do seem to be focused on the negatives.
It's not about the negatives. You have see in situations like this, I think you have to look at the bigger picture here, whether it be a win, loss or a draw. That was 1-12 now European Championships.
But you in the bigger picture is that Dalglish, Souness, I could name every single a great Scot that's been there and great manager has been to major championships and got exactly the same result. And we've definitely not got the same quality. I think the minute we opened up, in the last 15 minutes, Hungary had 6 chances. So I just think that with the quality of the footballers that we've got in the country, I just think a pragmatic approach is probably the only way that we can qualify for tournaments.
David, I'm sorry, you're at it. Go and look at that starting 11 last night, and I'm going to bring Simon Donnelly in here. 7 of that starting 11 playing the Premiership. John McGinn's in the Champions League next year. Andy Robertson plays for Liverpool.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There are 7 players. Scott McTominay, who's scoring goals for fun for Man United this season, won an FA Cup. Do you know what I mean? I could go through that entire team. Billy Gilmore flying at Brighton, playing in the best league in the world, apparently. We had 7 players in that league start last night, and they looked like they were junior footballers. And I think it's all to do with Steve Clarke and who sets them up. You cannot tell me that the players froze on the night.
I need to keep repeating myself. I don't believe in the system. I don't believe in the system, Ewan. I think I've backed the players, and maybe it makes me look stupid, I backed the players in the last Euros. I thought we'd have a good campaign because you're listing off players there that we watch week in, week out, playing at the top level.
Playing the Champions League.
And then we've got boys in our league, Carl McGregor, the captain of Celtic. We've got good players in our team there. But I think the system's wrong. Pragmatic for me isn't the way, and I think we have to come up with some other system where we go and force teams to try and defend again. It's too easy to play against us at the moment. That tournament there, we didn't pose that many problems to anybody.
David, it was a pleasure speaking to you, my friend. We'll agree to disagree on that. Scott and Denny, I know you're standing by, my friend. I promise you, we will get to you in a couple of minutes. So stay there, Scott and Denny. He wants to talk about Lauren Shankland. But coming up next, after your news at 7, beat the pundit. If you want to get involved in this, 0141 951 1025. If you want to have your say on Scotland, we're here till 8. Don't go anywhere.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Couple of minutes after 7 o'clock on Monday the 24th of June, it is Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Ewan Cameron, alongside Hugh Keevans and Simon Donnelly. We're taking your calls until 8 and we're going to speak to Scott and Denny in just a wee second, but it's now time to play Beat the Pundit.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
And playing Beat the Pundit tonight is Stephen Bell, who's in Cambuslang. Hello, Stephen.
How you doing? You all right?
Not too bad, my friend. Before we get to Beat the Pundit, you staying with Steve Clark or not?
Nah. I was on the fence until last night. Just got a wee bit difficult yesterday.
So that's a no for you?
That's a no for you.
Right, OK. Now, we've got Hugh Keevans here, the Sith Lord himself, and we've got Simon Donnelly. Who would you like to play in Beat the Pundit?
I wouldn't mind a wee shot at Hugh again. He beat me a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Revenge.
So you're looking for Revenge of the Sith.
There you go.
So, Stephen, you are hoping for a matchup alongside Hugh Keevans. I'm going to flip a coin. I'm going to let you call it, Hugh. Heads or tails?
Tails.
It's tails. You're going to get your chance to get one on Hugh Keevans, the Sith Lord himself. Right, so can we pipe some music into Hugh's ears, please? Got the music? He's got the music. You ready, Stephen?
Yeah.
Right, we all want you to win this.
I've been travelling today, so give me a break.
All right, you're making excuses, mate. You've got to be confident. Don't be a Stevie Clark. Be confident. Attack it. Here we go. Your time starts now. Who captains Scotland after Andy Robertson's substitution last night?
Callum McGregor.
What Bundesliga team play at the MHP Arena?
Stuttgart.
Name any team playing in tonight's Euro fixtures.
Croatia.
How many times has the Euros final been decided by a golden goal?
3 times.
Name either player to be used as a substitute in all 3 of Scotland's Euro games.
Morgan.
Ross McCrory plays for which team?
Bristol.
How many players in Scotland's squad for the... Is that the whistle going? I've started, so I'm going to finish it. How many players in Scotland's squad play for Norwich?
2. Hanley and
McLean,
isn't it? Cambuslang.
So you're going with 2?
Aye, two.
Okay, good stuff. Thanks for that, Stephen. We're back in the room. Hugh Keevans.
I hate it when I'm confronted with a musical style that I just don't understand.
It was Craig David, I think.
Something about selectors or...
Oh, Bo Selector. Not Bo Selector. What was that again? Rewind. Rewind. No, Selector. Do you know all that song,
Hugh? It was tapping along to it.
Well, I'd rather Willie Nelson.
So, are you ready, Hugh?
I am.
Stephen is determined to get revenge on you tonight after you beat him a couple of years ago.
Good luck, Stephen.
Hugh Keevans, your time starts now. Who captains Scotland after Andy Robertson's substitution last night?
McGregor.
What Bundesliga team play at the MHP Arena?
Stuttgart.
Name any team playing in tonight's Euro fixtures?
Italy.
How many times has the Euro's final been decided by a golden goal?
Twice.
Name either player to be used as a substitute in all of Scotland's Euro games?
Shankland.
Ross McCrory plays for which team?
Bristol City.
Time's up. We are going to get the results, but we're going to go through the questions first of all. Can we get the Sith Lord's music for this, please? Thank you. Okay, Stephen, are you ready for this?
Yes, mate.
Do you think that you've beaten Hugh Keevans?
Nah, I think he's good at where he knows.
Okay. Who captained Scotland after Andy Robertson's substitution last night? You both said Callum McGregor. You'd both be right.
Uh-huh.
So well done to you. What Bundesliga team play at the MHP Arena? You both said Stuttgart. You'd both be right. Name any team playing in tonight's Euro fixtures. Stephen said Croatia. Hugh said, Italy. You're both correct.
Oh.
This is good, isn't it? This is really good. How many times has a Euros final been decided by a golden goal? This is where you have two different answers. Mm-hmm. Hugh, you said
two.
Stephen, you said
three.
One of yous is correct. One of yous is correct. And I can tell you that the Euros finals be decided by a golden goal on two occasions. Hugh Keevan's got it right. Name either player to be used as a substitute in all of Scotland's Euro games. Hugh, you said
Shankland.
Stephen, you said
Morgan.
Hugh Keevans gets the point. Ross McCrory plays for which team? Bristol City.
Yeah.
You both said it, which means that Hugh Keevans has won by 6 points to four.
Good game, Stephen. Good game. Oh, brilliant. That's the last Beat the Pundit of this season, isn't it?
Because it's the last one, should we just give Stephen a signed football anyway?
I firmly approve of that idea. Why not?
I appreciate that, Trips.
Yeah, we're going to send you a signed football. I know that producer John's going to hate me for that, but we're going to send you one anyway, since it is the final one of the season.
Yeah, just a big shout out to...
Oh, wait. By the way, Stephen, somebody's in my ear saying Stephen can bolt.
Nah, just what a journey it was today, coming back to Stuttgart this morning and then getting back to Glasgow.
Oh, so you flew from Germany this morning?
Yeah,
oh, mate, we're going to send you a signed football for flying from Germany. You're going to be a bit knackered, so you weren't in your best tonight, were you?
I went to Spain and then I went to Bordeaux and got back to Glasgow at 3:30 today.
Right, no, you're definitely going to sign football. We're happy with that, aren't we?
Yeah, of course.
We're delighted with that.
What Stephen, was that shout out, Stephen, there?
I just put all the guys on the flight today. What a journey it was. So 3 hours in the airport at Stuttgart to then the delays on the flights and that. So top effort.
Good stuff, mate. And welcome home and enjoy that signed football when it makes its way to you, all right?
Class, lads. Cheers.
Cheers, bud. That was Stephen there playing Beat the Pundit. He might have lost, but he has won ultimately. He's got himself a wee signed football. Okay, let's do this. Continue with your calls. 0141 951 1025 is the number to call. Have your say on the big game last night where it all went wrong for Scotland. And for Stevie Clark, Scott and Denny, I did promise we'd come to you. And here we are. It's your moment to shine, Scott. What do you want to say?
Hi, panel.
Hiya.
Hiya. Do you not think starting with Forrest and Shankland last night, going for it for the first minute would have gave us a better chance of creating more chances rather than other passing and getting nowhere and no chances?
I'm going to start with Simon Donnelly on this one. When the starting 11 came out, hindsight's a wonderful thing and all that, were you happy with that starting 11?
No, I would like this to be a bit more adventurous.
I thought he was going to go with a back four because Tierney wasn't there. I thought he was going to go more attacking.
I still thought, because of the nature of it, I thought we'd have the same shape. But we needed to get more guys forward. I certainly think by half-time, the two guys that he's mentioned there, Scott, we should have changed it. We should have went a wee bit more positive.
At half-time, make those changes.
I think so,
Shankland and Forrest on at half-time.
Yeah.
Scott, how frustrating was that for you to watch last night as a Scotland fan?
Very frustrating. Clark is too negative. Patrick's were the same for the last three games. No fight, no passion. And you said his quote, he said, his team's opened up at the end of the game. Why didn't they open up from the first minute and go for it?
What would you do right now if you were in charge of the SFA?
Get rid of the SFA for start.
You want them to sack themselves first? And take Clark with them?
I take Clark. He's didn't get me wrong, he's done well to get them there, but his time's up.
And if it is time up for Clark, who would be your top choice to replace him?
That's a hard one. Maybe Moyes.
I'd go with Jurgen Klopp. He's got nothing to do just now. He's maybe looking for a part-time job.
We're too wee for him.
couldn't afford him.
There's that as well, Scott, you're right.
The problem is because Davy Moyes is on television, people just automatically say, oh, Davy Moyes. But the search has got to be, if indeed there is ever a search, the search has got to be more detailed than that. But I just feel that Stevie Clark, you know, Simon keeps using good words like be bold, be adventurous. And I'm thinking, he's set in his ways. The manager's set in his ways. The one change he made was the one that everyone expected, in lieu of the fact that
Tierney was out.
Had to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems unable to be bold and adventurous and think off the cuff. And, you know, he takes off McGinn. Now, McGinn had a poor, poor Euro 24. But you never know the minute with John McGinn.
Mm.
And he takes off Robertson, the captain. And you think, you know, one of these times Robertson will put in a ball and it will result in a goal. And I never thought I'd see a game in which McGinn and Robertson come off within minutes of each other.
Yeah.
And we've just finished in a very unhappy fashion. And all the calls tonight, I said last night in the programme, I'm not trying to jump on a Clark must go bandwagon. Ultimately, he deserves respect for taking us to two major tournaments back to back. I want him to think about him and what's best for him, because he deserves that. And I don't think the SFA will make a single move towards him. He'll be left to his own devices.
Scott, was it worth the wait speaking to Hugh Keevans?
Oh, yes, definitely. I've never spoke to him before, but he sounds quite a character.
Would you like to go out for a drink with Hugh Keevans?
No.
I'm going to give you a wee insight into Hugh Keevans here. He told us something during the break that I'm now going to share with the Clyde One Super Scoreboard listeners. Do you know that Hugh Keevans wears a T-shirt from the Beatles and pajama bottoms to bed?
What's wrong with that?
I don't want to know anymore.
No.
You're quite right.
And he wears Superman pants.
No, it's not true.
Listen, guys, thanks for letting me on.
Not a problem, Scott. It was a pleasure speaking to you, my man. You have a great night.
Cheers, man. Catch you.
Cheers. Catch you.
See, I'm living history. I'm the only one in this building that has actually seen the Beatles.
Where do you see them, Hugh?
The Odeon in Renfrew Street.
All right.
Yeah.
Were they at the Odeon in Renfrew? Were they?
Yeah, 1964. I think 63 or 64.
The Beatles were at the Odeon.
And so was Bob Dylan. I saw Bob Dylan in there in 1965.
You saw the legends, mate.
Yeah. Jerry and the Pacemakers.
I saw Mel and Kim at the community centre. Respectable. Right, Daniel from Edinburgh in North Virginia.
Oof.
We're going international. Hello, Daniel from Edinburgh in North Virginia.
How you doing, guys?
I'm not too bad. What time is it in North Virginia just now?
It is 2:16, my man.
2:16 in the afternoon?
Afternoon, yep.
What side of America is that, North Virginia? Are we West Coast or East Coast?
East Coast, just below Washington, D.C. I'm about 40 minutes outside the capital.
Right, and why are you there, if you don't mind me asking?
I actually moved here back in 2010, wasn't good enough to make it back home at football, so I decided to come over here on a football scholarship, played over here for a while and coach now and stuff, so that's been a good gig.
Daniel who?
Daniel Welsh.
Where did you play your football in Scotland?
I played at Livingston, Inverness. My dad played for Dundee United and Hibs and stuff.
Brian Welsh.
Yes.
And so how long have you been in North Virginia?
I've been here, since 2014, almost 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, thanks for coming on the show all the way from North Virginia. You've clearly got something to get off your chest after what happened at the Euros. So, Daniel, what do you want to say about that?
Yeah, just like everyone else, there's a lot of frustration on my part. It's been eating away at me. You know, I think we got a lot wrong. You know, I thought throughout the whole tournament we just looked lackluster in possession. We didn't really have a clear identity. The structure was wrong. Now, I understand Steve Clark, he adopted that system with the three, or if you want to call it a five at the back, to accommodate Tierney and Robertson. I just don't think Tierney's the same player he was 3-4 years ago, and that's, you know, that's not down to him. That, you know, he's been hampered by injuries. It's been a difficult time for him, and that shows through going out on loan from Arsenal. But, you know, I just thought it really did present us with an opportune moment to go and shift things when he got injured, when he went down in that Switzerland game. You know, I was kind of rubbing my hands thinking, all right, maybe we're going to go into a 4-3-3 here and get wingers on the park because we just lacked width the whole tournament. You know, Ralston's not the answer in attacking areas. I thought we could have had Forrest out there for his attacking attributes. But we just lacked width, and then we lacked structure in the middle of the pitch. It just, you know, there was, you've got two of the best passers, in my opinion, in the British game, in Gilmore and McGregor, in deeper areas, but they didn't have forward passes, available options, passing lanes, the whole tournament because we lacked structure. You had McTominay and McGinn in there. Not once did they receive the ball in the half turn in the pockets trying to play forward because we weren't stretching them. So Adams, McTominay, McGinn didn't make enough runs behind the back line of the opponent to create space underneath for us to then unlock those and open them up. And that's got to fall on the manager. You know, it's easy to get caught up in personnel debates and talk about who should be playing and all that. And I think that kind of, it's smoke and mirrors. It gets away from the bigger problem, which is we lack identity. And there's a crisis. And it's embarrassing. We didn't lay a glove on our opponent all tournament. And, you know, we've walked away for that tournament with our tail between our legs. And I just think it's time for change.
Daniel, you're a young coach. Why do you think none of this dawned on a veteran coach?
That is a great question, Hugh. I struggle to comprehend why, you know, a manager of his experience can't get it right. You know, he's been there, he's done it. You know, maybe there's, you mentioned it earlier, you know, off the cuff. I think in these tournaments, the best managers, everyone makes mistakes. But being able to adapt and adjust in these tournaments when there's quick turnaround times between games is vital. And I just think either through stubbornness, I'd like to think it's not incompetence, as to why, you know, he's not changed things. I mean, the clear one for me, another one I'd like to touch on is, why do we have Scott McTominay taking corner kicks? Mm. He's 6 foot two. He's a top goal scorer in qualification. He's a great aerial threat, and he's taking corner kicks. We've got plenty of smaller players to be taking those. I mean, I watched the national anthems yesterday, and I was rubbing my hands looking at the size that Hungarians looked undersized. I don't think we got a corner past the front man on the post.
Daniel, do you want to take the Scotland job?
I would love to.
Our producers here have gone into your Wikipedia page. Yep. I want to read out something that's on your Wikipedia page. Coach's breakdown from Daniel's profile on the MLS website. Scottish, so he's tough, reads the game well, extremely athletic, can run anybody down, can take a touch and beat guys on the run, can get up and down the line, and is good at defending. Did you write that yourself, mate?
Yeah, I think I might have, mate, to be honest. Somebody's been very nice there. I was very limited, but I had heart. I had Scottish heart, and I think even that we lacked in the Germany game. I don't know why, what was going on there.
See, that's what happened, Daniel. You know, when we played Switzerland, and after the game was over, we were taking calls here from people who said, it was great to see effort. Fans will always applaud effort. They will understand if some players lack the ability of others, but they will not understand lack of effort. And there was just something, Daniel, last night about us that was not right. We were as flat as could be.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's the most disappointing thing. You know, I was really disappointed that Forrest wasn't, you know, put in any of the games. You know, I think him and Lewis Morgan could have really... I watched Lewis Morgan over here. He's really transformed his career. He could have injected energy and pace into the game. I thought Switzerland and Hungary both looked vulnerable in wider areas, but yet we weren't able to exploit them because we didn't have players in the right areas of the pitch to exploit them.
Daniel, it has been a pleasure listening to you, and great insight as to how you've seen the game last night from a coach's perspective there in Northern Virginia. Other information that we've just gleaned from your Wikipedia page. Favourite movies, Braveheart, is that true?
Oh, Mel Gibson's a man, mate.
And your favourite book is George Best's autobiography.
Yeah, and hey, to be honest, I wish I was drinking like George Best watching those games.
It was poor last night. Daniel, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you, my man. You have a brilliant time there in Northern Virginia.
Thanks, guys. I really enjoy the show and keep it going.
Thank you. Thanks, all the best, Daniel. Much appreciated. It is Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Ewan Cameron, Hugh Keevans and Simon Donnelly. We're here till 8. Don't touch that dial.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now.
taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Win £250,000.
Are you ready to win life-changing cash? I'm not speaking to you, Hugh Keevans, or Simon Dolan, because you're not allowed. You're not allowed because you work here. The lines are now open for your chance to win £250,000. This amount of money would change your life forever, no doubt about it. And it's so simple to enter. Even just one entry could net you £250,000. How much is that? £250,000?
What do you mean, how much is it?
What is £250,000?
£250,000.
Well done, it is £250,000. If you want to get involved, text YES to 61025. That's YES to 61025. Text to £2 plus your standard network rate. Enter on the website. Online entries cost £2 or call this number 0330 880 4523. Calls charge at standard rate. Over 18s only. Are you over 18?
I should have said to him, you said, what's £250,000? I should have said a year's wages.
All the rules for this network competition are on our website. Lines close at 5 p.m. on Friday when we will make a call. Making a call. There's no phrase or amount to remember, and you don't have to pick up in five rings. Just answer your phone, and that £250,000 will be yours next Friday. For your chance to win it, text YES to 61025. Good luck with that. Let's continue with your calls here on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Alan, now we've been to North Virginia. We're now heading to Dusseldorf in Germany. Alan is standing by to speak to us. Hello, Alan.
Hello, guys. I hope you're well. I hope you've had a good night. Sitting in sunny Dusseldorf, we're heading back home on Thursday. We booked up for the entire group stages. We booked it up the night that Norway drew with Spain. We were in Lille for the friendly against France that evening. I'm afraid we're stuck here until Thursday.
So you actually did something really good because you'd have got cheap flights and hotels by booking that after the Norway game.
We did, Ewan. We got a cracking deal. Yeah. I don't know whether it's such a cracking deal now. We actually hoped that by booking Dusseldorf, we might have got some closer venues, but the journey from Dusseldorf to Munich in the morning of the game was a long one. It was fine.
So there you are, Alan. You're in Germany just now. It's the day after the night before. You went to all three games, and take away the football, I'm sure it was a fantastic experience and you had a great time. But when it gets to the football, what's your thoughts?
Listen, you and I've been doing this for a long time, 60 now, and I've been going to watch Scotland in tournaments since 1982, so I guess we're kind of used to it. The only benefit now is it's easier to fly because I went in a bus and it took me 3 days to get to the south of Spain in 82. Great. We were better going forward than what we are now. I listened to some of the chat with the guys. Stevie Clark setting up with a back five. To a certain extent, it's actually worked in many respects over previous games, but if you're going to... you can't fit them all.
Do you know what, Alan? We've got a really bad line. We're going to call you back because that is breaking up. It's a running theme tonight here on the show, Hugh. Uh-huh. This back five, nobody's having it.
Well, I go back to the thought that, and I underline the thought that Steve Clark is set in his ways and shows a marked reluctance to alter his thinking. And you can't have that. You have to be more adaptable than that.
Proactive.
Yeah. Yeah. What we have done 3 years ago when it was Glasgow and London, and this month when it's been all over Germany, what we have done is stand still. And when you stand still in football, you go backwards.
Yeah. We've got Alan back in Dusseldorf. Hopefully it's a better line. Alan, just pick up on that point you were making about Steve Clark in the back five.
Yeah. You know, the signal in Dusseldorf sometimes just as bad as it is in Glasgow. I don't mind the back five. I just push the wing backs forward, and it just seemed to be that we spent three games sitting defending. Now, we're never going to score. if we don't.
Alan, it's a really, really bad line. I'm really sorry to cut you off there, but the line's just dropping off.
But we get the gist
of your point, Alan. And safe journey home, my friend. And maybe when you get back, we'll speak to you again. But Simon, I'm going to bring you in here. We talked about this ahead of the Switzerland game, and a 3-5-2. A 3-5-2, not a 5-4-1, but a 3-5-2. A bit like what Celtic did under Martin O'Neill with Didier Gat. And who's the other boy on the other side? It was a Gat on one side. Proper attacking wing backs, more like wingers than defenders. I can't remember the other one.
You spoke about James Forrest, didn't you? I mean, listen,
Gary Ralston.
Anthony Ralston isn't a.
He's not a wing back.
He isn't a wing back.
No.
He usually plays a right back in a back four. And to be fair, I thought he stuck to his task last night. I just think the shape's wrong. I just think the last caller, Daniel, made some good points here where we've got players in the middle of the park getting on the half turn, like Billy Gilmore. And how many times last night did we end up going back?
Or sideways.
And that's maybe because there isn't as many bodies forward there and options to thread things through and get us up the park. So we're going back all the way. I think it's just the shape. I think we need to have more attack-minded players in our starting 11.
You know, I'm just an idiot football fan with a microphone in front of my face. But I was watching that game last night and I was screaming after 20 minutes, you need to make a change now.
Yeah.
And I was saying that after 20 minutes. I'm just a plonker that's outspoken, passionate, love my football. But we could all see that. And I'm just wondering, as a football manager, why can't he see it? Or is that where the stubbornness comes in for Stevie Clark?
I think that's a good word to associate with him. We all understood that the nature of the circumstances. It was the proverbial must-win game. Therefore, if you have 45 first-half minutes in which you have no shots at all and don't even force a corner kick, something is fundamentally wrong. And therefore, on must-win night, it requires change, not at the death. It requires change there and then.
Give it time to bed in.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Let's go to Paul, who is in Merrylee. Watched Scotland since 1974, it says here. You've been through it all, Paul.
Seen it all, mate.
You've been there, done it, got the T-shirt, and you've got the wounds and the scars to prove it.
Aye. I mean, anybody that was surprised that Scotland didn't go through last night, do you know what I mean? It's every time. And just watching the game last night in particular, I thought there was just seemed to be a lack of ideas. And the rest of the games, they've said that, you know, the amount of shots that we've had on target is the lowest of any team in the Euros. But there's nobody else that could have come into that team that would have made a huge difference. Do you know what I mean? There's no better players at Celtic or Rangers or Aberdeen or anywhere else. You know, normally when a tournament finishes, they say, well, they should have played this one and that one. I've seen Shankland playing for Scotland before, and he's all right, but he's not a great player. Shea Adams is extremely limited. I just wonder if it's like a grassroots problem, because you've got all these teams, you saw them, Slovakia, Slovenia, Georgia and all that, and they're putting together some lovely football. They might not be winning the games, but they're creating chances, and they've all got good players, and you don't need a team of world-class players to make an impact on these. You need to be organised.
Would you not sack Stevie Clark then?
No, because who else are you going to get? It's like when Andy Roxburgh was the Scotland manager.
Yeah,
Andy Roxburgh and Craig Brown got Scotland to these tournaments, but when they got there, they couldn't take that extra step. And then we get rid of Roxburgh, and then we didn't qualify for another tournament until we get caught. What does that tell you?
Paul, I'm going to quote Gary Neville here, former England defender, and he was an England right-back during what was described as their golden age. Mm-hmm. Lampard, yeah. Gerrard, Beckham, Scholes, right? And he said ahead of this game, not our game, but for the tournament for England, that they made a huge mistake during the golden era, and that was that we tried to fit in our best players and not do what's best for the team. It lacked balance. Mm. And what they should have done, when they look back at it, Michael Carrick should have been sat in that midfield, and then it should have been either Gerrard or Lampard, but not both, because it affected the balance of the team. Is the issue here very similar to what England went through when Gary Neville was a player, is that we're trying to shoehorn in our best players, but not in their best positions, and that in itself is affecting our performances? There's no balance.
Well, who was playing at a position last night?
What I'm saying is in regards to that back five that he perseveres with to shoehorn in Tierney and Robertson. It's the setup and the shape is being created to fit those two players in. Has he created himself an issue, a bit like what England done when Gary Neville was playing for the Three Lions?
I wouldn't like to compare the two problems, because England have always had an embarrassment of riches. Scotland, I mean, obviously, Ralston played at right back all three games. And he's, I like him as a player, but he's limited. But I noticed last night in the first 15 minutes, I think Hendry was told, don't pass the ball to Ralston. Even when he was further up the pitch and Ralston was ahead of him, they never put him in. Because Ralston can swing in a really good cross. And he wasn't given that opportunity. I think he maybe put in a couple of crosses later on in the game. But, you know, it's frustrating because I thought Scotland were like hammer throwers last night. I thought even our best players, I thought Robertson, I don't know whether it's a tiredness or whatever, but he was really disappointing. McGinn held the ball up really well, but there's nobody running for it. The team was static. And I don't blame Steve Clarke for that. I blame the players, to be honest.
Good call, Paul. We can all agree to disagree with some of your points there. I'm going to go back to that situation that Gary Neville talked about. It's about the team at the end of the day and not about finding a way to play your best players, because that then ultimately affects the team overall because you're not getting the best out of them in certain positions.
I know, but you could still play Tierney and Robertson. Just play a back four.
So who are you putting in midfield? Or you put Tierney left centre-back?
Yeah.
That's a great shout. I never even thought about it. Yeah, you could.
Because I still think those two boys fit. Have to play in our team. I know what you're saying about balance and stuff, but play a back four.
No, I agree.
Another player further forward.
And Tierney could step into midfield because he's got the quality to do that. It's not actually a bad shot. I never even thought of that. Has it got to that stage, Hugh, where we have to think about what's best for the team and not because we're trying to shoehorn our best players into a system that doesn't work?
We're in an environment here where if Clark left out Tierney or Robertson, people would say, what? You know, however...
But you don't have to do what's best for the team.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. We've now gone two major tournaments back-to-back and we have not put in a performance. We went on and on about England because it was a goalless draw and that meant a lot to everyone. But we were far too obsessed by England. Two tournaments back-to-back and we have been horrendous. And something has to change because the Scotland team is unattractive.
Would you put Tierney at left centre back in a back four?
Why not?
I think it's a great shout. I think it's a brilliant shout. And it's the first time I agree with Simon Donnelly on everything. Paul, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Have a great night. Enjoy the football. I'm no doubt you'll be watching that game tonight, Italy versus Croatia. Absolute cracking game that is. And it's now your chance to win cash with Call Robert by simply guessing the results of tomorrow's game on our pundit predictor. John and Airdrie got 2 out of 3 right, but he predicted a German... predicted a German, which means you can win £600. What does that actually mean? So to win the money, just predict a result in these three games. It's Albania versus Spain, Croatia versus Italy, Netherlands versus Austria. And as an added bonus, you will go up against either Hugh Keevans or Simon Donnelly. So call right now for your chance to win £600 with Col Roberts. That's right. Col Robert, chance to win £600. 0141 951 1025 is the number to call. If you want the chance to win £600, we need your prediction for Albania versus Spain, Croatia versus Italy, Netherlands versus Austria. Get it right. You could be winning £600 with Col Robert. 0141 951 1025 is the number to call.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Right, we've teamed up with Col Robert for our pundit predictor, but before we get to that, a guy called Baz from Kirkintilloch has called Clyde One Super Scoreboard tonight, and he's got an issue, he's got a problem, and he's putting a complaint, and he wants us to stop this. Hugh Keevans is here with me tonight, and I have described Hugh Keevans the last couple of times I've been on Super Scoreboard as the Dark Lord, the Sith Lord, our very own Darth Vader, and I've always played this music. Right, whenever we mention Hugh Keevans being the Sith Lord, we play his music. Baz from Kirkintilloch has called and put in a complaint. Can you please, please, please ask Ewan to stop playing the Imperial Death March for Darth Vader? That's the ringtone for my wife, and every time I hear it, I think she's calling me. play it again. Go on, play it again. That's a good idea. I'm going to change my wife's ringtone to that as well. Baz, thanks for the message, my friend. You have a good night. Right, should we do this? Call Robert for our pundit predictor. We got any music for this? No, we're just playing the game. Right, we're just going to play the game. And on the line, Nathan Davis, who's in Clydebank. Hi, Nathan.
Hello.
You all right, my mate? All right, my friend, how are you?
Aye, not bad, how are you?
Aye, not bad. You want to try and win £600?
Hopefully, aye.
Okay. We're going to be playing against either Simon Donnelly or Hugh Keevans. So the three games tonight with the chance to win £600. Albania versus Spain, Croatia versus Italy. Both games are tonight. And then you've got Netherlands versus Austria tomorrow at 5 p.m. And Nathan is on to play.
Which part of Clydebank are you from, Nathan? I'll tell you how smart you are.
I used to stay see like top of the hill. Uh-huh. I used to stay there, but I stay in Yoko now, so it's basically still is Clydebank, isn't it?
No, not really. You've gone down the scale. I mean,
he's down the scale.
Yeah,
moving out of Clydebank has gone down the scale.
Yeah, Clydebank's a step up from Yoko.
Is it? Right, we're going to flip a coin. I'll let you call this one, Simon, because Hugh played Beat the Pundit. So you're going heads or tails?
Heads.
Heads it is. So you're up against Simon Donnelly for the pundit predictor. So let's go Albania versus Spain. What do you think, Nathan, in Clydebank, or as it is now, Joker?
Spain.
Do we need to give an actual result here, or do we just need the team?
Just the team.
Just the team. We don't need like a 1-0 or a 2-1 or a 1-0. No, just going with... Okay, so you're going with Spain to beat Albania tonight. Simon Donnelly?
I need to go something different.
No. Just do what you think.
Spain, I've got a whole new team out tonight as well, I believe. I'm going to go... Draw.
A draw?
Spain are through.
Bold. Croatia versus Italy, tricky one tonight. This will be a good game. Also at 8 p.m, kicking off very, very soon. Nathan, what do you think?
Croatia.
You think Croatia beat Italy?
Aye.
Simon Donnelly?
I'm just going to be different. I think Croatia's win, but I'm going to Italy.
You think Croatia will also win?
Yeah. Do you? I'm going to Italy just to be different from Nathan.
Netherlands versus Austria, 5 p.m. tomorrow. I know Austria lost their opening game against France. I thought they were brilliant and were lucky to lose it. I thought they were superb against Poland. They are the team that I've been most impressed with this tournament. Austria have been outstanding, been a credit to their nation. And they're a dark horse. They're really, really good. I think that's a good game. Netherlands versus Austria. What do you think, Nathan?
Netherlands. Who will beat them?
I think that's a draw. I think it's got draw written all over it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Draw.
Do you?
Yes.
So Simon Donnelly's going to draw?
Draw.
So, Nathan, we'll find out tomorrow if you win that £600 with Col Robert.
No worries.
And here's another part of this competition, the rules for this competition. If you do win the £600, you have to take me out for a couple of drinks and also a Wagamama.
That's a deal.
Take him out in Yoker, Nathan.
Do you have a Wagamama in Yoker?
No, but they'll get one for you for £30.
Not quite, no.
Nathan, good luck with that. I hope you win the £600. And if you do, I'll see you in Wagamama's for a chicken chili ramen.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
All the best, Nathan. Lovely. I don't think I've been to Yoker. I think I've gone through it in a train.
I drive through it.
Clydebank actually play at Yoker's pitch. Okay.
See, when you drive
Is that the ground on the left? Coming? Yeah. Tonight,
home park.
Yeah.
See, when you drive through Yoker, do you go quick?
Very. If you're sensible.
If you know it. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. David is on Uddingston. Now, we've not touched on this tonight, and it's rather interesting. Here we are nearly at the end of the show. David, you're going to have the final say tonight, actually. You want to talk about that challenge on Armstrong. Was it a penalty or not? What's your thoughts, David?
Well, it was 100% a penalty.
Is it?
Oh, 100%.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
You made them.
Is it? Is it, David? Listen, I know you're on...
I'm actually starting to doubt it. I doubt myself now.
Right.
Don't doubt yourself.
Okay, I have a freeze frame picture on my phone of the moment the McTominay makes the pass to Armstrong. And I am going to suggest here and now, and I kind of suggested it last night on Twitter, I think he's probably more off than onside. I'm going to show you it again.
I think it's inconclusive, your photograph.
Okay, right, so you think the photo is inconclusive. Yeah. It's that close. Now, I'm going to remind you now, David, you might remember this as well. A couple of nights ago, Romelu Lukaku for Belgium scored a cracking goal, great pass from De Bruyne. Everybody and their granny thought he was onside, and then you get the picture that comes through and his toenail is offside. And it was an unbelievable decision, and we were all shocked by it. I think that because of that automated VAR system for offside, I think that Armstrong is offside, but only just. What do you think, David? Do you think he's clearly onside?
It's hard to tell. I think the offside rule is becoming blurred these days. Back, you'd always give the striker the benefit of the doubt, wouldn't you?
No, well, Lukaku didn't get that the other night there when his kneecap was offside.
There's no way all that happened at that time, though, Ewan.
But look at that picture.
It needs to start coming into play. There needs to be a finer rule. I would always say, see if your feet or your toes are in line with the player. You're onside. See, your arms offside or whatever. That should still count as onside, and that's still giving the striker the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, let's go through every part of the body here. If your shoulder is in an offside position, are you onside? Would you like that to be the rule?
Inside, then you're onside.
Yeah, so
I don't think the referee's concerned.
I know what you mean. I know what you're saying, David. So should the rules change? Give the benefit of the doubt to strikers, Hugh Keevans.
The rules should definitely change.
I'm wondering, has there been something at the Euro competition? So the penalty, how that's not been brought back is unbelievable, right?
Aye.
Obviously, I was reading Steve Clark's post-match interview, and he's obviously saying how somebody somewhere has got to tell me how that's not a penalty. No. You can hear the crowd. The crowd was whistling for about 3 minutes after the tackling question for it to come back. Surely somebody in that stadium has got to say, by the way, ref, you're going to have to look at that penalty.
By the way, your kids in the background are telling you to shut up and get them their dinner. David, thanks so much for the call. That ends Clyde One Super Scoreboard for the night. What a night it's been with the Sith Lord himself, Hugh Keevans, and our very own Luke Skywalker, Simon Donnelly, who somebody said to me the last time that we were on a podcast together, looks like Leonardo DiCaprio. I don't see it myself personally.
No, me neither.
Enjoy the football tonight if you're watching it. It's a cracking game. It's Italy versus Croatia. The boys will be back on Monday. Are they back on Monday?
They're back roundabout now.
They'll be travelling just now.
Travelling now.
Fun Boy 3.
It's been great. Have yourselves a great night. Enjoy the Euros. Take care. Bye-bye.